We're turning this evening in the Word of the Lord to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. We're turning to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Turning tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We have here the final words of the Apostle Paul. As far as an inspired letter is concerned, he was in prison at this time that he wrote this letter, second letter to Timothy. We often find that last words have a lasting effect. We tend to remember more than anything else the last words of an individual before they leave us. And here's Paul with his last words to Timothy. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. We'll end the reading at verse 9. And it is our earnest prayer that God will bless the reading, the public reading, of his own holy, infallible, and inerrant word. We once again, as we have been praying in the past and even tonight in the prayer meeting, before the service, we've been looking to the Lord for the help of the Holy Ghost. We're praying for the power of the Spirit of God to be evident in the service tonight. And again, I would make the request that every blood-bought Christian would look to the Lord now and pray for an outpouring of the Spirit of God tonight. As you were singing prior to the commencement of the service, let the fire fall. That's what we need tonight. Will you pray to that end? The fire of God will fall tonight in this tent mission like he has never done before. Let us pray. O our God and Father, we have in many ways been solemnized by the events of the past 24 hours. O God, when we have learned of souls that have been ushered into God's eternity without one moment's notice, dear Lord, we think back on the meetings of this mission. We think of the number of times that, Lord, thy word did warn all in attendance that these very things take place, that we dare not boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And, O Lord, while souls have passed into eternity from the commencement of this campaign, Lord, we look around us tonight and we see many who are still in time. And we can only thank Thee for that. We can only thank Thee, Lord, that souls in the meeting who are still not saved are still in time. For, Lord, they could be in eternity tonight. And who knows, they could be there by the end of this campaign. So, our God, I pray earnestly that Thou will come tonight, that, Lord, Thou will rescue souls and save them from that day and that moment when they'll pass into God's eternity. May they be ready to meet God. Lord, come now and fill me with the Holy Ghost. Grant to me that power. Cause the fire to fall tonight. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost fire. And help us, Lord, in the preaching of the Word to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And help us, dear Lord, to make much of the blood. And tonight, Lord, to plead with souls from the depths of our heart, to plead with them to come to Christ. Pray in the Savior's name, for the Savior's sake, and always for His honor, His praise, and His glory. Amen. I would like to take this evening the words of the Apostle Paul as he drew this letter of his to Timothy to a close. It was like his farewell address to the young Timothy, even though he had requested for him to come to him and visit him, saying, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." But lest the Timothy did not make it and come to him in time, Paul said this, "I am now ready to be offered the time of my departure is at hand." I want you to mark those words. May the Lord burn them in upon your heart and your mind. Paul said, "I am now ready." When he wrote his letter to the church at Philippi, Paul in that letter said, "For I am in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And between the time that he wrote those words to the church at Philippi to the time that he wrote these words, many things happened in Paul's life. But that desire he had to depart and to be with Christ, that hour had finally come. Just as we said the other night, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and the rich man also died. It came to pass, as it will come to pass for us all. It had now come to pass for Paul. For he said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Soon he would meet his Maker. Soon he would see his Savior. Soon the Roman guards would take him to the place of his execution. For in referring to this, he states, "I am now ready." I'm ready. for that moment, when I hear the key turn in the lock of the door of my prison cell, I'm now ready for that hour. And I'm ready for the hour when they take me out of this dungeon and lead me to the place of execution. I am now ready when they plunge the sword into me and take away my life. I'm ready. For the time of my departure is at hand, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready to depart, he's telling Timothy, from this scene of time. And many of us here tonight, I wonder if I were to call upon every Christian in this meeting tonight to stand up as an indication you're ready to meet God. I wonder how many would be left sitting. I wonder how many would be honest enough to remain sitting, indicating and saying, "Preacher, I am not ready. I'm not ready for the time of my departure. I'm not ready to face the last enemy. I'm not ready to face the destroyer. I'm not ready to face God. I'm not ready to stand before his judgment seat. I'm not ready to meet my Maker." But by the grace of God, through the prayers of God's people and the preaching of God's word, I trust that bear this meeting is over tonight, even before Mr. McRae pronounces the final amen, that there will be men and women even now who are not ready by the time the mission tonight is over, you'll be able to say, "Preacher, I am now ready. And I'll shake you by the hand, and I'll embrace you, and I'll give thanks to Almighty God." And I'll be able to say with you, "Well, now we're both ready to meet God." We have, as we said in our opening prayer, our hearts have been solemnized by the events in Dromara. Doesn't bear thinking about. Doesn't bear thinking about what that dear woman is going through. And the rest of the family losing a husband and two sons. A husband and two sons got up yesterday morning and expected to rise up this morning. But I learned this morning that that father, and it is believed both the sons, were saved. They were ready. What do you think of that? They were ready. That tragic event overtook them, but they were ready to die. They were ready to meet God. They were ready for eternity. If the same thing happened to you or something similar, tell me, my friend, be honest about it tonight, would you be ready? Or would the heartache be greater? And would the tears flow more profusely because your loved ones would know that you went out into eternity as a man or a woman who was not ready to die? As we've sought to emphasize in this mission, the things we have said from this pulpit, they're true and they're real. And they happen. These are real facts. These are real events. Things happen. Like men and women been ushered into eternity without one moment's notice. But here's Paul. Paul says, I am now ready. Here you have the assurance that the Apostle Paul had. I am now ready. He didn't say, I plan to be ready. He didn't say, well, I hope to be ready. He simply stated the truth, I am now ready. There you have his assurance. What was he referring to whenever he said, I am now ready? Paul couldn't very well say, well, I've put all my matters of the house in order. I've got all my estate sorted out and made my will and all the rest of it. Paul wasn't talking about that. He didn't have a house. He didn't own anything. Why, whenever he was in prison, he made the request that one of his fellow laborers would bring a coat for him. He didn't even have a cloak to cover himself with. So he wasn't talking about having all his affairs in order. Not at all. When he said to Timothy, Timothy, my son, I am now ready. He was talking about being ready to meet God. He was talking about the day that he got converted. The day that he got saved. The day he became a Christian. Acts 9. There he was in the road to Damascus. As a deep-dyed sinner with blood on his hands. And there on that road to Damascus, the Lord met with him and the Lord saved him in an instant. See, that's how salvation works. You don't grow into it. You're saved and you're saved in an instant. Born again. And Paul was born of the Spirit of God. And there on the Damascus road, Paul met the Lord. And the Lord saved him on the Damascus road. And the Lord blotted out all of his sins on the Damascus road. And he often recalled that day, the day of his conversion. Have your sins been blotted out? Have they? Has your sins been dealt with by the precious blood of Christ? Are you ready then? You see, it's getting your sins dealt with and being washed in the blood and being born of the Spirit. That's what it means to be ready to meet God. Nothing else. Nothing less will do. You see, when John was given a revelation of heaven and the events in heaven, John said to the Lord, what are these which are a red and white robes? And the answer came back, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the saints in heaven. And glory to God, the saints in heaven are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now you can't get to heaven any other way. You may sit there tonight and have tucked away in your wallet or in your purse a baptismal certificate. It's not worth the paper it's written on. Far as eternity's concerned. You may still be able to recall the vows you made at your confirmation. You could have recited and made 100 vows, 1,000 vows. They're not worth that. You You need to be ready. And it's not baptism that makes you ready. It's not confirmation that makes you ready. It's not church membership that makes you ready. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now tell me, have you been to that fountain filled with blood? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. There may I, yea, there may you, though vile as he, wash all your sins away. Are you ready to meet God? Paul was ready. Not only was he speaking here about his conversion, but you can see in these words his confidence. I am now ready. There is confidence in those words of Paul. I am ready. My friend, tonight, as we again mentioned some night during the mission, we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. Traveling on every day, and we seem to say it more often, my, doesn't time go so quickly. Look at it, 2 weeks of the mission gone, 1 week left. 1 week out of 3 weeks, and we look back and we say, where's the last 2 weeks gone to? We have moved on in the journey of life another 2 weeks. We can't go back to the first meeting. We can't go back to the first week. We're moving on. It's the journey of life. We're pressing on. We're moving on to where? We're moving on to eternity. Are you ready for that day when you will pass out into eternity? Can you say tonight with confidence, preacher, I'm saved and I know it? Can you say tonight, I'm saved, therefore I'm ready? I'm saved because I was there when it happened, so I ought to know. If you can't say that, and you know that you're not ready, then you're in the right place to get ready. You're in the right place to get right with God and be ready to meet God. As I said before, there's no point sitting there and saying, well, preacher, I hope I'm ready. That's no good. That is no good. You want to make sure you're ready. And the only way you can make sure is make Jesus Christ your Savior. Get the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Get Him into your life. And live for Him and you'll be ready. But if you're not ready at this moment in time, you need to make sure. Maybe you're a backslider tonight. Remember that time you made a profession? Maybe it's years ago. Maybe you went on well with the Lord for a while, but then you fell back and you've been in the world ever since, and you sit tonight and you say, I don't know. I really don't know if I'm ready or not. I've spent so much time in the world, I've spent so much money in worldly things, I've spent so much time drinking and gambling, I've spent so much time in the houses of vice, I don't know if I'm ready or not. What a terrible state to be in. And if you don't know, what do you think it'll be like when you come to die? And the minister stands over your grave and he doesn't know what to say as far as the condition of your soul is concerned. How is he going to bring comfort to your loved ones left behind? If you lived and you didn't know if you were ready to meet God, how's the preacher going to know? And if death were to take you as suddenly as those three dear souls yesterday, if death were to come for you and take you away as suddenly as they went, where would you be? Tell me, where do you think you'll be? You need to be man enough to face up to this truth. You need to be brave enough to face up to it and say, well, I don't know where I'll be. Well, you better make sure. I tell you, my friend, you better make sure, and you better make sure tonight. You could be in eternity tomorrow. Anywho, say passed away yesterday. I don't want to say too much about that family. I don't know much about it other than what I was told this morning. But my heart goes out to the family. But if somebody had said to those three individuals, tomorrow, if they'd have said on Friday night when we were here at this tent mission, if somebody had said to them, tomorrow, you'll be in eternity, I wonder, would they have believed it? If I were to say to you tonight, you could be in eternity tomorrow, would you believe me? Or would you be saying, as Mr. McRae said in his introductory remarks, oh, well, I'm too young to die. I'm in good health. I exercise daily. I eat healthy food. Death? Oh, no, 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 that's not on my mind at all. I've plenty of years left. How do you know? How do you know how many years you've left? How do you know how many days you've left? And you're not ready? My friend, not ready? You're only a heartbeat away from eternity. You're only, as David said, a step away from death, and you're not ready. You're living dangerously. That's like driving some of the narrow roads in our province on the wrong side of the road. It's crazy, isn't it? You drove up the road on the wrong side of the road and went round a sharp bend. You wouldn't think of doing that. You'd say it's too dangerous. I could be killed by doing that. Well, that's what you're doing in the journey of life. You're driving on the wrong side of the road. And that's how dangerously you are living. And you're not ready. That's the bit I don't understand. Men and women are not ready to meet God. They're not ready to die. And yet they go on as though they're going to live forever. Paul was able to say, I am now ready. It wasn't anything Paul did. Paul was a great missionary, great preacher, mighty man of God. But that's not what made Paul ready. That wasn't what prepared Paul for heaven. Didn't matter how many missionary journeys he went on. It didn't make Paul more fit for the kingdom of heaven. He was made fit for the kingdom of heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And again, my friend, tonight I plead with you. If you're not ready to meet God, make sure you're ready before you leave this tent tonight. Think of those words we have in the book of Luke. And there's Judas, and he's with the other disciples. And the Lord is instituting the Lord's Supper. They've sung a hymn. The Lord has distributed the bread, and we are told that Judas went up and went immediately out. Then there's four words. And it was night. How powerful those four words are as applied to Judas Iscariot. There he was with the Lord Jesus. There he was with disciples all around him. There he was, if you like, at the very door of heaven, for Christ is the door. There he was amongst friends. But Judas had other things on his mind, and he went out, and it was night. Oh, it was night, all right. It was night. For as he stepped out of that meeting where the Lord was and the other disciples were, Judas really, in reality, stepped into the night of a lost eternity. It was night, all right. And for Judas Iscariot, it was a night without a day. He stepped into the night of a lost eternity. And I quote those words and I give you that illustration of Judas Iscariot because it's now dark outside. And here you are in the light of this tent. Here you are with God's people all around you. You've got praying friends here. You've got praying family here. You're not ready to meet God. Tell me, are you going to go out into the night? And for you, will it be like Judas Iscariot, the night of a lost eternity? Where sinners are cast out into outer darkness. I would not like to be in your shoes. I would not like to be in your seat tonight. If you're not ready to meet God, you step out of this tent and go out through that door into the night. You could be stepping into the darkness of a lost sinner's hell. Because if you're not ready to meet God and death were to come and take you, that's where you will be. You'll join Judas there and the rich man there and all the others who have died without God and weren't ready. Paul said, I am now ready. There you have his comfort. My, what a comfort those words are and were to Paul. Knowing that Christ had died for him, had saved him, had washed him in his blood, had saved his soul, had clothed him in his righteousness, had made him fit for the kingdom of heaven. What a comfort this was for this dying saint. What a comfort it is for any dying saint when they're lying on their deathbed, perhaps, and the hour is drawing near, and they know they're not going to see the morning. They can turn around and say to all gathered around the bed, "Don't weep for me, for I'm now ready." When Samuel Rutherford was on his deathbed, his last words on his deathbed to those sitting around his bed, the last words of Samuel Rutherford were, "The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land." And he gave up the ghost. Glory to God, Rutherford was ready. And glory to God, as he was breathing out his last, he could no doubt see the Savior. And he cried out, "The Lamb, look, there's the Lamb. He has all the glory in Emmanuel's land." That's what it is, my friend, to die in Christ. That's what it is to die washed in the blood. That's what it is to die as a man or a woman prepared. The Lamb. We look forward to seeing the Lamb. We long to see the Savior first of all. But what will you see? Once again, we emphasize this thing is real. What will you see the moment you pass into God's eternity? We'll see the Lamb. We'll see all the loved ones who have gone before. We'll see those mothers and fathers who have gone before. That's a comfort, no doubt, to that dear lady, Mrs. Spence. I'll see my husband and my sons again. It's not goodbye. It's only a good night. I'll see you in the morning. But if you were to die without the Lord, if death were to come as suddenly for you, it would be, let us get it now, it would be goodbye. It would be goodbye. You're a son or a daughter of Christian parents. And if you, young man, or you, young woman, were to be taken suddenly from this scene of time, I have to tell you, I have to say it, it would be goodbye. Wouldn't see you again. So what a comfort this was for Paul when he's able to say, "I am now ready." Told Timothy, Timothy, his son in the faith, "Timothy, I'm now ready. The time of my departure is at hand." And Timothy, when he received the letter, would be able to say in his own heart, "Well, my father in the faith, dear Paul, I'll see you again. If I don't get there to see you before winter, well, I'll see you in glory where there's no winter." Where the sun shines forever and the Lamb is the light thereof. Glory to God. You think there of Paul's calm. Just as he wrote those words, there's no fuss. He just says, Timothy, I'm now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. Now, he was not sure exactly how he would die. Probably not by crucifixion, probably by the sword. But whatever lay before him, whether it was the sword or crucifixion or burning or stoning, whatever it was, Paul says, I'm Timothy, I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I know the Lord will be with me, whatever I have to endure for him. But best of all, I'm ready to meet him in glory. I'm ready to meet him. You're not ready to meet him. Sure you're not. You might say, well, my minister didn't tell me anything like that. You might say, my minister told me if I did the best I could and I attended church and I gave to the offering and I helped my neighbor and I did plenty of good works, then the Lord would look favorably upon me. But I'm afraid what you have been told will not prepare you for the kingdom of heaven. And it's not a free Presbyterian minister that's saying that. No. The Bible says it. And we are simply giving you what's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. I'm not making up a story. I'm telling you the truth. And the truth is, if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, if you don't come and ask him into your heart, if you don't ask him for cleansing in his precious blood and to blot out all your sins, you will not be ready to meet God. You will die in your sin, as the Lord Jesus said, if you all do not likewise repent, the Lord said, ye shall perish. That's the Lord's word. And here's Paul, calmly says to Timothy, Timothy, I am now ready. Don't worry about me. Don't concern yourself about me, because I'm ready. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. Time is gone, but I just want to leave a few thoughts with you. You have the awareness of the apostle. He was aware that death was near. Now what he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He's aware. And you know, whenever we hear of tragedies like we have heard just in the last while, when we hear of such tragedies, or we hear of some young person being killed in a car accident, you know what I think we should do? We should earnestly think about those things. You know, we tend to say, did you hear about so-and-so? He was killed in an accident down that road somewhere outside the town. And we think about it maybe for that day, and after that was forgotten about. What we should do is, whenever we hear of a death, we should say to ourselves, now what can I learn from that person's untimely death? What can I learn from it? What lessons can I apply to my life? And for the Christian, when we hear of someone being taken tragically and suddenly away, you know what we should say? We should thank the Lord we're still in time, and Lord, help me to spend the rest of my days for thee. Because my day will come to pass. And my labor will be over, and Lord, I'll not be able to do anything more for thee. And so we should let these tragic events speak to us. Say, well, that could have been me. And if that had been me, I wouldn't have been able to do anything more for the Lord. Why, I've lived many a year and have done nothing for the Lord. That's what we should do. And for the sinner, for the unconverted, for the unsaved, whenever you hear of tragic deaths like we've heard about in the past 24 hours, you should be saying, now, if that was me, where would I be? If I were to pass into God's eternity as suddenly as that, where would I be? But no, we don't want to do that. Sure, we don't. We don't want to dwell on such things as death. No. We don't want to dwell on such things as death. Well, you ought to. It'll come to pass for you. And I'm asking you again, will you be ready? Will you be ready to meet the Lord? You see here, for Paul, it was a set time. Do you know that? Do you know something? God, in His sovereign purpose and will, has a set time for every one of us when we leave this scene of time. Do you know that? In Job chapter 14 and verse 5, we read that God has set our bounds that we shall not pass. We may fall ill. We may send for the best physicians. We may get the best treatment. But God has set our bounds that we shall not pass. The year, the month, the day, the hour, the minute, the second. God has set it. And in the words of the little chorus that the children sing, the countdown's getting lower every day. Lower every day. Every day. Paul knew there was a set time. The hour of my departure is at hand. But he was able to say, I'm ready for it. It may be tonight after he wrote that letter. It may be the next morning. But I know my time of departure is at hand. And Paul was able to say, speak about it as a sure time. He couldn't avoid it. He couldn't get over it and under it and around it. It was right there in front of him. He was able to say, I'm now ready. Now. Do you notice that? He said, I am now ready. As he wrote that letter to Timothy, he was able to say, Timothy, I'm ready right now. And what are you thinking even now? What are you thinking even as you sit in the tent tonight? Well, boy, if I could get out of this meeting. If I could get out of this meeting without raising my hand or staying behind. If only I could get out of this meeting. You're already thinking about escaping the gospel and escaping the gospel invitation and escaping the gospel message. And it amazes me. Men and women today seem to put more effort into escaping God's salvation than they do in going to receive it. They seem to spend more time and more effort to get into hell than they do in seeking to avoid it. That's the truth. You think of the brethren and the sisters that have visited this town. You think of the people sitting at home who were invited to come to the mission today and maybe they said, I'm not going. And they're determined not to come. See? They're determined. Determined that they'll not come and receive Christ. People of this town are determined they'll not come to this mission. They're determined to get into hell. That's what it's all about. They're determined to get there. The preacher can put all the barriers he can in front of them. He can plead with them, talk to them, witness to them, sit with them and pray with them and open the Bible to them. And put every barrier he can in front of them. That's what I'd love to do tonight. I'm sure Brother McRae and Brother McKee would join me. I love to stand at that door tonight as people are filing out and say, you're not getting out of here until you give your heart to Christ. We can't do that. So I ask you now, what are you going to do with Jesus? You're not ready? Well, listen, do you not think it's about time you got ready? Many years have you gone in this life without the Lord? And many do you have left? Death is no respecter of persons. I've often stood, ministered to bereaved families in a graveyard, preached the word, sought to warn men and women. And inevitably, I'll always look around me and look at the headstones and look at the date of those who died who were buried there. That's when you realize death is no respecter of persons. Young children, young teenagers, middle-aged people, older people, rich and poor, educated, uneducated. Death takes them all. And it'll come to pass to each one of us here. Brother McRae and I are ready. Others in this tent are ready. Are you? Would you face up to that tonight? Would you face up to that question tonight, am I ready? And would you face up to the answer? And if the answer is no, preacher, I'm not ready, will you get ready tonight? And any of us will be glad to show you the road to readiness to meet God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's just still our hearts just a moment or two. We have our heads bowed. People in this meeting tonight of all ages. People in this meeting tonight of all ages who are not ready. We have prayed for you already tonight. Prayers have been offered on your behalf during the service. If tragedy is to come your way, as it has done to others lately, tell me, would you be ready? And if you're not ready and tragedy comes, what do you expect will happen then? Where will you be? I believe the Lord with all my heart has spoken to souls tonight in the meeting, as he has done on other nights. And I wonder tonight, would you like to settle it all with the Lord? Say, preacher, I must get ready tonight. I'd be afraid to spend another day without the Lord. If God has spoken to you tonight, and with God's people around you, and your friends around you, and prayer's been offered on your behalf, could I make a very simple appeal tonight to those in the meeting who are not ready to meet God? Would you indicate to me tonight that you're not ready, but you'd like to make preparation tonight? Would you do something for me? I point out again, it will not save you, not in any shape or form. But it'll indicate to me that you want to know the Lord, you need the Lord, and I'll pray for you. Brother McRae will pray for you. Would you, wherever you sit in this tent tonight, as I look over the congregation on my left, or my right, and Mr. McRae on his left, would you do something just now? Would you just slip up your hand? When I see your raised hand, I'm not going to call you out or anything of that nature. I'll acknowledge it, and then you take it down. And we'll meet with you after the meeting's over. We'll not embarrass you in any way. So come on. You're not ready and you know it. So let's see your hand. Anywhere tonight in the service, what are you waiting for? Why do you tarry? You're playing with fire. Let's see your hand. Raise it up now and I'll acknowledge it and then take it down. The meeting will soon be over. Is there one anywhere in the service tonight? Surely you must come. Why not come now? Anywhere tonight. If you haven't raised your hand, maybe you didn't, I didn't see it, I'll be at the door. Have a word with us. Or if you're with a Christian friend, why do you ask them to stay behind with you? And they'll speak to me at the door and tell me someone here would like to make peace with God. But friend, don't go away tonight again. Come to Christ.